I want you to turn to John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. I'll pull up my notes. It reads, "As the Father," Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." I'm reading from New King James Version, but I like original King James Version used a language that resonated with me. It said, "As peace be unto you, as the Father has sent me, so send I you." Right? So Jesus is saying that receive his peace. The very person of Jesus Christ in your home right now, in your family, in your situation right now. But as the Father sent him, so send I you. He has sent us in the same, with the same commission, with the same power, and God has sent you. Now, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the greatest miracle that will ever happen to anyone in life. It's the greatest miracle that will ever happen to anyone in life. There's no miracle greater than that. Because for 1 minute, you are instantly translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. This means when you die and open your eyes, you'll be in the arms of the Lord. That is guaranteed. That is the greatest miracle. That somebody who is destined for hell, now giving your life to Jesus Christ, he says you are going to be destined for heaven. You're on the pathway to heaven. But then Jesus didn't want us to stay right there, because once we give our life to Christ, we don't die straight away. We live our own lives. And as we live our own lives, in the meantime, while you are still living here on earth, as a follower of Jesus, you become sent persons. Underline the word, sent persons. So he says, peace be unto you. That means the very person of the Holy Spirit be with you, be in your home, be in your life, and he will accompany you. That's why in Matthew 20, he said, "I will be with you to the close of the age." Right? Matthew 28:20. He said, "I'll be with you in the close of the age as you are sent." Right? Verse 19 said, "Go and preach the gospel to all our people." I mean, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for I am with you. Teach them to obey everything. Right? If you take it from Matthew chapter 20, verse 18, 19, and 20. If you do so, then he will say that, "I'll be with you to the close of the age." So that's why he says, peace be with you. God wants to be with each one of us. Right? So, as the Father has sent me, so sent are you. Sent to be like Jesus. Sent in the same power of the Holy Spirit to do as he did. What did he do? He saved souls. He healed the sick. He set free all those that are oppressed by the spirit of weakness. We need to walk in the supernatural power of God here on earth to manifest, to show, to demonstrate that same power as Jesus Christ did. So once we become a Christian, that is not the end of it. We have to be sent people. We have to obey the gospel as sent people to do the very things that God wants us to do, that Jesus Christ did, to operate and move in the same power. And the same power of the supernatural God is what we're going to talk about, that we have to move in signs and wonders. So, recap briefly what we said last week, is that we quoted Matthew chapter 20, verse 24, and it says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master." So if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are his servant, then you are not above your master. So you, as the Father has sent him, so send I you, says the Lord. So we said that the way for us to move in the supernatural power, to prepare ourselves to move in the supernatural power, is to pray. Pray often. Be persistent and make it a habit to pray. Because the cause of all miracles is prayer. Without prayer, you cannot see miracle in your life, or you cannot demonstrate the power of God. You need the prayer that pushes, that opens the atmosphere. Because somebody who doesn't want to hear God, it is your prayer that will touch his or her heart to be open to hear God. So the cause of miracles is prayer. We also said fast, for fasting helps you to maintain your spiritual edge and walk in power. Fasting helps you to maintain your spiritual edge and walk in power. We say also that strive for holiness and peace, without which no one will see God. We said holiness, meaning be upright, be truthful, just, and walk with God faithfully. Just like Job and many more like them walk with God faithfully. Jesus walked with God faithfully on earth, so was the disciples. So today, having told you that these things we must do to be able to ascend persons, to be able to save souls, to be able to heal the sick, to be able to cast out demons, to set people free from the spirit of wickedness, and to see miracles and signs and wonders happening in our lives and breakthroughs in our lives, we need to seriously think that there are prices to pay. And some of those we talked to you about extensively last week. There are prices to pay as sent people. Sent people must be willing to do what it takes to walk in miracles, signs and wonders. And today I'm extremely grateful that you are here. I'm grateful to my Lord God Jehovah, who has anointed me to preach the good news to you. I'm also indebted to evangelist A.A. Allen, who shared in his book, The Price of Miracle Working Power, as a means of sharing his encounters with God. As he paused his heart to share the encounter that he's had with God, he came to the conclusion that there are prices to pay to walk in the miracle working power of God. So today I'm going to share with you two things. So I'm not saying that this present from the angle I'm coming from is originally mine, but God has given me that message. And because I've learned from my masters, I'm able to communicate with you. Here, I will say that the way to literally walk in the supernatural power of God, apart from prayer, fasting, and holiness, the next thing you have to seriously think about is present your bodies as living sacrifice to God. Present your body as living sacrifice to God. That's the fourth point we're looking at. Our God will not use a vessel that does not belong to him. So when you give somebody a present, effectively what you have done is that you've given it to that person. So it belongs to that person. If I give you, I don't even know what I can give somebody, but supposing that I give you, say, £5, right? And I give it to you, I cannot take it back. It's your present. It belongs to you. So if you say present our bodies to God, then our God will not use a vessel that does not belong to him. The vessels that are presented to him are the vessels that belong to him that he can use. Hallelujah. He uses those things that are yielded, and the land were yielded, and thus surrendered to him. You yield, you surrender. You yield, yes, and you surrender to him. Those that are consecrated, that is made purposely available for his service. Those people who make themselves, they yield and they surrender themselves and consecrate, make themselves purposely available for his service, God will use. Those who are sanctified, or they set themselves apart and say, God, you know what? I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do, no matter what. These people God will use to demonstrate his power. Not to show off, but to demonstrate his power to help somebody. If you go to a hospital or your GP and your GP look at you and prescribe medication for you, do you know something? It's not for his benefit, but for your benefit, right? So we are like spiritual doctors, right? So when you actually heal somebody or God use you to heal somebody, it is not because of you, but because of his holy name. And he has chosen to use you to benefit somebody. So it is for us to serve God. So we are there for God's services. As the Father has sent you, so sent are you. Jesus Christ did not come onto this earth just for his benefit. He came for your benefit and my benefit. He wants us who are sanctified, who set themselves apart for his use, to be in that position that he uses. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in case you think I'm making it up. He says that, I beseech you, all readings are from New King James Version of the Bible. You can look at any other version that you want. But it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I urge you, I plead with you as a result, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present, underline the word present, your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations say reasonable act of worship. If you want God to use you, then you must present your body completely yielded and surrendered to the Lord. Underline the word completely yielded and surrendered. If you want God to use you to do miracles, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and to set the oppressed free, and to see miracles and signs and wonders, things that people say, wow, God has done this. Wow. In this church, even on Zoom, we've been praying for people at the point of death and they've been coming back. People suffering severe COVID attack and they are in intensive care and they've come back. We pray for many, many, many miracles about money, many miracles about jobs, miracles about literally setting captives free. We've done that. But we've got to be completely yielded and surrendered to the Lord. If you don't surrender your body to God, then you leave room for Satan or your flesh to dominate you. That means yourself dominate you. You open the door and give a legal right to the enemy to dominate you. Even though you are a Christian, the enemy can dominate you. Such a body will not be accepted by God. If the enemy is dominating you, if your flesh is dominating you, I mean, your self-preservation is more important than any other thing. God cannot use you for a supernatural ministry, for a supernatural God, because God saved us not only to go to heaven. Yes, he did. But then you are not in heaven right now. So while you are on this earth, as a result, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. God wants an acceptable sacrifice from his sons and daughters. That means it must be holy, set aside and made clean unto God. And it must be for his use, that which belongs to him. Have you given God your life and said, God, my body belongs to you. My life belongs to you. My future belongs to you. My present realities belong to you. Have you surrendered to him that way? That which belongs to him, which is his, must be his not only on Sundays, not only on prayer meetings or House of Peace meetings, but 7 days and 7 nights a week. It must be presented with no strings attached whatsoever. You renounce authority over that gift. You renounce your authority over your self-preservation. You renounce authority over your body. You renounce the authority over everything that belongs to him, that you are presenting to him now and forever. Say, God, I renounce authority of my life because I've sacrificed it to you. You see, a sacrifice is supposed to be dead, right? If you offer a sacrifice on an animal, it's supposed to be dead. You cannot bring back a dead animal. So God is saying that you cannot take it back, that which you have put on the altar. But this time, you are the person presenting it. That is why you are living sacrifice. So you are on the altar. Don't creep on the altar. Once you get on the altar, leave it there. And that will be an acceptable sacrifice before God. You present it to him now and forever. Acceptable and consecrated sacrifice is like handing God a blank check signed with your beautiful signature, and you are saying, God, you fill it in any way you want. Or it's just like you handing God your security pin code and password to your online banking and saying that, Lord, this is my wholehearted determination to do your will all my life. Use it no matter what. Use it no matter how much it costs me. If you give your PIN code and your security and password to somebody, they can cream you out. So you are saying that, God, yes, I want you to just use it no matter how much it costs me. That is the price we need to pay to walk in the supernatural power of God. Surrendering or yielding is one of the means by which we have access to and can appropriate and operate in the supernatural power of God. I'll repeat that. Surrendering and yielding is one of the means by which we have access to and can appropriate and operate in the supernatural power of God. We yield, meaning we give way for good reasons and for better outcomes. So when he said, God, I surrender, when he said, God, I yield, you are saying that I am appropriating, I am ready to operate in the supernatural power of God. Yield means give way. In our country, when you read a road junction and you drive, you see that sign, like a triangle, which says give way. That means stop, for God's sake. Because if you don't want to die, stop. And in America, they say yield. Yield means that also give way, but it's as if give that person a priority. It means the same thing. We English, so we believe that we think faster. So when we say give way, the person will know that they have priority. In America, they have to tell you to yield to understand that you have to give that person a priority. So we have to surrender or yield as a means of having access, so that we can appropriate and operate in the supernatural power of God. Write this one down. Christ is the Lord of your life. Only in those areas that you have surrendered and yielded to him. I repeat that. Christ is the Lord of your life. Only in those areas that you have surrendered and yielded to him. See, those areas that you hold on to will not be used by him. In case you didn't write it down, Christ is the Lord of your life only in those areas that you have surrendered and yielded to him. Those areas that you literally hold on to will not be used by him. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, by verse 2, says that, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. The world means those without Christ. Those of you who are watching me right now and you believe Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, giving your life to him, those of you who call yourself Christians or Christ followers or disciples of Christ, do not conform to this world. Do not conform to the way of those without Christ. They hold on to things for their success. They hold on to things of this world for their success. They will hold on to their jobs as a means of their success. They will hold on to their business, their education, their careers, their vehicles, their buildings, their assets, their investment, their children, their spouses, or friends, etc., etc., as the means of success. These are the things that they hold on to. If they want to be successful, they need a good job. They need a good business. They need a good education. They need a good career, cars, buildings, assets, children, spouses, and everything. Yes, these things are good. But I'm always minded that during the first lockdown in our country, how empty it was. Not on the street, but in the lives of many people. It's as if people are trying to run to hold on to something that was not there because they didn't know him. But those of us who knew Jesus Christ, we had a living hope. People were living in hope and in hopelessness situation because for the first time they realized that they can't have access to their banks. And even if they do, it doesn't mean anything. They can't drive their nice cars. And I mean, it doesn't mean anything to them. They couldn't go to their gym. They couldn't do the things that they want to. But for us as Christians, we cannot hold things, these things, as our success. We can have them, but they will not be our main priority, top priority, the thing that controls us, that motivates us in life. It should not be so for sent people. For those of us who are sent people, holding on to this, conformed to the things of this world is not our portion. We have to be transformed by the renewal of our mind so that we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The area of your life in which you yield your will to God is the place or area in which you will be empowered. The area of your life in which you yield your will to God is the place or area in which you will be empowered. If you yield your mind, God will empower you. If you yield your heart, God will empower you. If you yield your body, God will empower you. If you yield your even eyes and ears to want to hear prophetic things, if you want to see through the supernatural, if you want to use your mouth, and if you yield it to him, God will use you. So the area of your life that you yield to him, God will empower you. You yield your heart, you yield your mind, you yield your will, you yield your relationships, you yield your ministry, you yield your finances, you yield your children and your spouse, or you yield any other area about which God is speaking to you right now in order to be empowered as Jesus was. Brothers and sisters, unless we are able to yield these things, we will not. Some people have gone the way of the world, that they've held on to their children, did not give them to God. Let God take care. You know what? God is able to do that. You remember the story in Goshen? That the people were able to leave Goshen and go and bury Jacob. They left their children, they left their assets, they left their cars, they left their, everything. They left their bank checks and everything in the home. No thief broke through because God protected them. Hallelujah. You see, so when you yield these things, they say, God, you take care of them, but I yield my heart to you. I yield my mind to you. I yield my will to you. I yield my relationship. I yield my job to you. Yield these things to you because one day when these jobs go away, you'll be in trouble. In the city, I have seen people who have taken their lives because people sometimes get good money and big money and they ride the most amazing cars, go first class, business class to the exotic holidays, and suddenly something happens. I remember the Black Friday during Norman Lamont's time, and then the economy crashed in our country. And I know people who gave their lives, who threw their lives away. Some threw themselves into a river over cliffs. They just died because suddenly all the big things that they have, the money has dried. They took their lives because they yielded their lives to their jobs, to their investment, to their careers. And some yield their everything to their spouses. And when the spouse have different ideas and they move out of your life, you become emotionally broken. Yield your hearts to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So which area is God calling you to yield to Him right now? Which area? See, write this one down. The level of anointing that operates in your life is proportionate to your level of surrender to God. Write it down. The level of anointing, that means God's supernatural endowment for miracles, signs and wonders, and healing, and all those things, the level of anointing that operates in your life is proportionate to your level of surrender to God. The more you surrender to God, the more God anoints you for great things. And I look at my own life in the last 4 years, I see that each time I'm surrendering more, God is anointing me more. I see that. So whoever, underline the word whoever, meaning anyone, meaning you, meaning me, I am whoever, you are whoever, whoever would really want to experience the free flow of God's miracle working power must surrender and present his or her body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Something that God said, I accept this because it's not after the pattern of this world. I accept it because it's coming with no strings attached. It's coming freely that I can use. The person is not going to take it back. Now, let's look at the second point. We've talked to you about, present our bodies, yield and surrender. Now, what must we do also to walk and operate in the supernatural power of God as sent people? Because if you are a Christian and all that you do is to go to church and come back, sing lovely hymns and everything, you are wasting all that God saved you for. And all around you, your husband, your wife, your children, your aunties, your cousins are on the pathway to hell. And you see it. Because you see there's commotion, there's disagreement, there's envy, there's infighting, there's sickness, there is bitterness, there's unforgiveness all around you. There is loose life all around you. There's sin all around you. They're going to hell. And you are looking at it. And you're doing nothing because you are powerless. Why? Because you haven't surrendered yourself as a sent person. The reason why when God saves us, he doesn't take us straight away to heaven is that because he wants you to do something. He wants to send you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And if somebody sends you, you've got to obey. I send my kids to go to the shop. Well, my ladies this time around. I mean, they go to the shop, and when they go, they have to bring something back. If they don't go, then they've disobeyed. There's nothing happening. Right? So, the next thing is that we have to partake of his divine nature. We should be partakers of his divine nature. First, we are presenting ourselves as living sacrifice. Secondly, we are going to be partakers of his divine nature. Note this and hear this. God is power. God is synonymous to power. God is synonymous to Holy Spirit power. God is synonymous to, how do I put it? He's synonymous to fire power, right? God is power. God is Holy Spirit power. God is synonymous to fire power. The words that we speak must thus carry supernatural power. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you know Jesus Christ. And as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, things that will help us to walk in the way of God, and everything that will help us to walk in our life through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You got to know God, by which, you only know God when you obey him, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, that is not giving in to the flesh and living in your own carnal nature. Your mind has been transformed. Don't give in to the world. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. The world will do that. It's great. But then even as you do that, remember, you are a sent person and do what God wants you to do. And you'll be in a better place. You have a better advantage. Then when it goes wrong, you have something to hold you back. You have the nets to fall through. God will be for you. God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises that should be enacted through our words and our works as we partake of his divine nature. Let me break this one down again. The words that come from us must be as a result of the Father speaking through us. Jesus himself said that the words that he spoke were that of the Father that dwelt in him. He, God, does the work that he, Jesus Christ, did. John 14, verse 10. Right? The work that Jesus Christ did was as a result of what God was doing through him. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. You see, so the more of God that you have in you, he does the works. So you look at the devil in the face and said, get out and come out of that person, and it goes. You see, there are times that we're just worshiping as a community and demons were flying out of people. There were times that I look at people in the face and I say, come out, and they come out. There were times that I just spoke in tongues and they come out. I'm thinking, hang on a minute, where did I get that power? God was doing that through me. And even on Zoom, people have testified that as we prayed, spirits of wickedness, demons came out of them, and they are freer. And God has saved them. This is incredible. So the words that come out of our mouth is that which God will speak if we obviously partake of his divinity. That means we allow God the freedom and say, God, now overshadow me with your Holy Spirit. Overshadow me with your Holy Spirit. That is why I love speaking in tongues. Because each time I speak in tongues, I say, God, overshadow me with it. I overshadow because I get into the same platform with God. I get into the supernatural. I'm a wavelength of God. And as I speak, I activate the supernatural, activate the heavens. And as I activate the heavens, God come in his power. So that the word that I speak, whether I'm rebuking the devil, I'm leading someone to Christ, or I'm preaching to you, it is God who is speaking these things to you. Hallelujah. While on earth, Jesus did nothing of his own, his own will, except that which the Father asked him to do. So you do nothing of your own self-will unless God has asked you to do, because a servant is not greater than his master. And we are thus minded to do as the Father enables us. Even as Jesus' own works and fruitfulness was conditioned upon his abiding in the Father, our works and fruitfulness will also be conditioned upon abiding in Jesus Christ. Take on his divine nature, my brother, my sister. Just say, God, here am I, wholly available. Father, there's nothing that I can do in this ministry to save my family. Because you cannot save anybody. You can lead people to Christ, but it's God and the Holy Spirit that actually save people. Because you don't know where heaven is, so how can you save somebody from going to heaven? Somebody who's living a loose life, somebody who's, self-harming, somebody who's mentally ill and all those, for them to be restored, you're not a doctor. How does that happen? God is working through you, but you have to yield yourself to him and say, God, I'm wholly available, that you are the one who enables me. So as I decrease, you should increase in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we say that our fruitfulness will be conditioned upon abiding in him. So take on his nature. Shall we read John chapter 15, verse 4 to 5? It says that abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So to take on his divine nature, we have to abide in him. If your Bible uses a different word instead of the word abide, cancel it and write abide, because abide is important, right? Allow the same divine nature, that is what he's saying, that anointed Jesus Christ in your words and deed also to anoint you, that you will remain, abide in him, right? So abide means remain. But reason why I like the abide means that you are remaining and not shifting on the altar. You are fixed there. You said, this is where I'm going to be. I'm going to be before God. I'm going to take his nature. Unless God anoint me like he anointed Jesus Christ and the apostles, I'm not going anywhere. Please note that the branch is a partaker. Because if you are the branches, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine is a partaker of the nature of the vine. The same sap flows, that's the nourishment. The same sap flows through it, and the leaves and the fruit will also be of the same nature. If the same sap is flowing through the vine, then the branches will also bear the same fruit and the same, leaves as the vine. It is part of the vine, hear that. So long as it remains in the vine, it can do whatever the vine can do. So long as you abide in Christ, you can do the things that Jesus Christ did. Only in quantity, right? Because you are not greater than your master. Hallelujah. If you are doing creative miracles, he did it. People's shivering hands were shriveled, and he preached them, and he said, come on, stretch out your hand, and he came back. People's eyes were not, they were born with no eyes, and they were creative miracles, and they had eyes. So if you are doing creative miracles, remember, you will not do anything new that Jesus Christ did, but you do it in quantity. Because we will reach a wider world than he did, even with internet. So, let's press on because we have to finish this. But whenever the branch is separated, that is cut off from the vine, it can no longer do what the vine can do. The life-giving sap ceases to flow through the branch, and it is no longer partaker of the nature of the vine. Any branch that is not a partaker of the nature of the vine is cut off. It withers and it dies. You end up being a powerless Christian and a religious Christian. You see, a lot of people are powerless. They can't do anything. They're only religious. Church is a normal place to be. They don't engage in reading the Bible to know God. They don't even believe to actually know that blessings that God is releasing and the power that he's releasing, they have absolutely no clue. Because they don't want to do anything. They don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. They don't want to be holy. They just want to be like the world does. They are Christians. They're okay. You may be saved when Christ comes. It's not sure if you go back. The Bible says if you apostate, that means you turn your back on Jesus Christ, then you are in a very, very difficult state. You need the grace of God. For it is the nature of the vine to bring forth fruit. God is glorified when we also bear much fruit, so we will be disciples of Jesus. John 15, verse 8. It says it glorifies God when we abide and bear much fruit. It glorifies God. God is happy. It bigs him up. And when God is big, God is big up, he becomes bigger in your life. Just like going to a football stadium, some sports stadium, as you cheer your team, it bigs them up and they win. What a privilege to be made a partaker of the divine nature of God. To look in such a way that those who look and see us will realize that we have been with Jesus and to act so much like him that the works he did, we also do them. You see, if you look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, you will see that the first believers, Peter, John, and the believers, you see, at that time, they've healed a man who was born lame at the beautiful gate. And people were so surprised. The Bible said that when they preached, even the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious rulers were afraid because they spoke with power and authority. Then they realized that these people were uneducated. They haven't been to any theological seminary, neither have they got a doctorate degree in theology or religious studies or doctorate degree in working miracles. They realized that the only reason they could do this is because they had been with Jesus. So they were acting in the same manner as Jesus because they were and had taken the divine nature of God. I'm coming to bring to a close shortly. Jesus expects those who partake of his divine nature to obey his word and exercise, that's act on his word, and act on the authority given to them here on this earth. Jesus expects you to partake of his nature by obeying. So if you obey the word of God, you read it and you obey it, I'm thinking, I like this, I'm going to do that. You see, do you know that in all my life as a Christian, from the age of 14, I've never gathered 3 dozen people, taking them through deliverance, and had so much noise and hear so much demons flying out of people and so much manifestation in my life, except when I took the divine nature of God. Do you know that I've never been in a place where people are praising God and then demons fly out of people just like that? I've never been in a position where I look at people's face and I hear the voices of the enemy, Satan speaking, and I cast the demons out. Do you know I've never done that before until the last 2-3 years? Because I'm partaking of his divine nature. And you can do that if you partake of his divine nature. You can do that if you obey the word of God. Hallelujah. And act on it and act on that authority. It is in doing so that we will see his miracle working power. Use whatever measure or proportion of faith given to you. According to Romans chapter 12, verse, it said that each one of us has been given a proportion of faith. So your faith, the measure of faith that you've got, maybe your faith can heal somebody with a headache. Do it. Your faith can help you to lead somebody to Christ. Do it. You may not raise the dead because you haven't got a big faith for it. You'll run for your life. By whatever measure of faith God has given you, maybe you can pray for somebody to pass their exams. You can pray for somebody to get out of fear. You can pray for somebody to stop their wayward life. Do that. That proportion of faith given to you, use it. Because the Bible tells us, I believe Apostle Paul was saying that, look, now we know in part, we understand in part, but a time will come that when the imperfection will go away and all the perfect will come. So none of us has it all sorted. But the more we yield ourselves to God, the more we take of divine nature, the more powerful we become. So the proportion of faith becomes bigger, right? So if you want more faith, we have to take on more of his divine nature. And this will lead to fruitfulness. When we exercise much faith, we release abundant life. The life-giving sap flows freely to every part of the branch, producing much more fruit. I'll conclude by saying that God shows no favoritism in this matter, in walking in obedience, in walking in his divine nature, in being a partaker of it, and presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. The same price to pay applies to everyone. So if I pay that price, you cannot pay any smaller price. You got to pay the same price. If the servant is not greater than his master, and Jesus paid the price to the point of going to the cross, and he did everything that I'm telling you, then we have to do the same. It applies to us all. And the same power is available to all who will be willing to pay the price of yielding and presenting our body as living sacrifices and being partakers of the same nature. There will be power, for God is power. There will be miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you. The sick will be healed, the oppressed will be set free, and the impoverished will receive financial freedom. Our God is supernatural. If you agree with me, say amen by giving me a thumbs up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, now we're going to activate you. We're going to release something in your life right now, because you cannot be here and just go home or sit back to your bed for nothing. Something got to happen today. I sense that in Jesus' name. The question I'm asking you, do you want God to use you in a bold way? If you want, give me the thumbs up. Do you want God to use you in a bold way? If you want, give me a thumbs up. If you don't, that is fine. I mean, stay in your religious way. We are moving on. Yes, anyone want God to move in powerful way, in a bold way? Thumbs up. Hallelujah. Now, do you want God to dwell in you so that your words will come with authority and power? If you want that, give me the thumbs up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even Sasha want that. Why not? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Now we are going to pray. I want you to pray for yourself. And as you pray for yourself, tell God, God, I want you to use me in a bold way. Father God, I want your word, I want you to dwell in me. I want you to dwell in me by the Holy Spirit so that my words will come with authority and power. Pray for yourself. I'll give you 2 minutes precisely. I want you to pray for yourself. Don't unmute yourself because it is your personal prayer. Pray for yourself right now. Prayer is, the words must come out of your mouth in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is going to do something in your life right now in the name of Jesus. Keep on praying. 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 Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As I was preparing and waiting upon God and said, God, I need these people to pray a prayer for corporate prayer. There was a book that is, sitting by my bed. I've never opened that book. I promise I haven't. And it's by Apostle Guillermo Maldonado. It says Supernatural Transformation. And I just picked that book, and the page that I opened, there's a prayer. That is a prayer of surrender to God. I'm saying, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. So today, if you have prayed that prayer, I will want you to pray this prayer after me. That means you say it after me. And if you are able to unmute yourself to do that, just say it after me. It's not going to incriminate you in any way. It's a general prayer, but you are saying it with sincerity of heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay. You can pray this prayer after me. I open my heart to you.
I open my heart to you.
I want more of your presence.
I want more of your presence.
And your anointing and power. Right now, I surrender my will to you. Right now, I crucify myself before you. I declare that I am dead to self and a sinful nature so that I can do your will. I surrender to obey your word and to follow the direction of your spirit. I am transformed into the image of Christ, who is the perfect man. I pledge to be under spiritual authority and not to rebel against you, my God, or your delegated authorities. In the name of Jesus, I submit everything that I have, everything that I am, to you. I am asking you to be my Lord and my Master in all things. I yield my life to you and choose to let you be in full control of my life. This is my prayer, and this is my desire, and this is my commitment in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Keep your eyes closed wherever you are. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to do anything that will surprise you. I just want to pray for you. Be in a place of receptivity. I'm praying for you. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, today I present your sons and daughters before you. Father, today your sons and daughters have come before you. Father God, they are asking you, Jesus, that you yourself move in their lives. Father God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon them right now.
Receive the Holy Spirit right now. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon them. Pour it upon them right now. And let them receive your power. Let them receive your power. Their will to obey you. Their will to obey and the desire to do what you want them to do. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I release the Holy Spirit upon your sons and daughters who are here and are ready, Father God, to walk in the supernatural power of God. I release the name of Jesus Christ upon their lives. The name of Jesus, that's above all names. And Father God, from here on, Father God, they will exercise authority. Anyone who is willing to be yielded to you, anyone who is willing to dare to be at the cross, who is willing to say, God, I submit my body, and I want to partake of your divine nature, and Father God, you yourself move through them, that they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues, and Father God, they shall, Father God, cast out devils and set people free from the spirit of wickedness. Father, I thank you. Father, I bless you, and I glorify your holy name. I thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.